Okay, we'll start Be'ezer Hashem, the sugya today of Chameshim.
Okay. I'm sorry for disturbing everybody. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the concept of bitachon, in terms of how we define bitachon. And from Chazal, a few different places, it looks like bitachon might mean a few different things. So there is a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has a famous sefer, Emunah Bitachon. And the Chazon Ish writes in Emunah Bitachon that there is a common mistake that people have. Ta'us noshenes nis azrecha b'lev rabim musag bitachon. People have there's a widespread misconception when it comes to what bitachon means. People think that bitachon means that no matter what happens, you know, it's going to be okay. B'chol mikra shepogesh ha'adam v'hemidaso likras atid bilti mukhra v'shnei drachim ba'atid. You have two paths in front of you in the future. You don't know what's going to happen. Is it going to be A or B? Achas tova veloshniya. One of the paths seems to you, the outcome would be desirable, and the other path seems to be have an undesirable outcome. A good thing and a bad thing may happen. So bitachon means ki betach yatov. For sure what's good is going to happen. That's what means bitachon. V'mistapik v'choshe shal hipul chatov hu mechusar bitachon. And we say that if a person, even for a moment, questions himself and thinks, oh, maybe the bad thing is going to happen. So then we say, that guy has no bitachon. So says the Chazon Ish, it's not true. Ein arazu bitachon nechona. Shekol shelo nizbar benevua goral ha'asid, ein ha'asid mukhra. Kol's mind that we haven't had a nevua to tell us what's going to happen in the future. So in the future is, as far as we're concerned, not determined. We don't know what's going to happen. Ki mi yodeh mishpatei Hashem gulos ha'vizbar. Who knows what Hashem has in store for us? So if that's the case, then what is the true concept of bitachon? So the Chazon Ish explains, "Avol inin habitachon hu ha'imun she'ein mikra ba'olam v'chol nasa tachas hashemesh hakol be'askar mito yisbara." The Chazon Ish says that bitachon really means to understand that there's nothing that happens in this world by chance. Talmidim of Rav Benny are familiar with Rav Benny's cute jumble of the letters. The word mikra in Hebrew, mikra, which means chance. If you flip the letters, you can write Rak Mehashem. Benny. So that's the Chazon Ish saying over here. There's nothing that happens by accident. Hashem is in control from the beginning to the end. The kasher adam nifkash b'mikra asher lufi anoig shabu olam tzvuya elav sakana midarche ateva lifchod mitivas olam. When a person encounters a certain situation where al piderach ateva, he's in trouble. The kashas rucho yarpeyu miliskor she'ena mikra adoneha lanu v'she'en matzor l'ashem miloshio u'lahachein misabivim she'achlifu es kol ha'mesubavim. So Chazon Ish explains that when a person finds himself in a very difficult situation, so if he's under pressure, so all of a sudden he thinks, you know, he throws his hands up in the air and he thinks that nothing can be done. But the concept of bitachon means that to realize, no matter what the situation that we find ourselves in, that Hashem is in control, and if Hashem wants to flip the situation on his head in 1 second, everything can change. And that's bitachon, and bitachon is meant to give us a certain yishuv hadas, even in those most difficult types of situations. And this idea of the Chazon Ish is a Gemara in Brachos, which we're learning. A famous Gemara. The Gemara says on Daf Yud that Chizkiyo Amar, Lesi Yishaya Lagabai, that there's a machlokas over here between Chizkiyo Amelch and Yishaya Navi. I don't know what the pshat is, but for some reason each one refused to go and visit the other. Chizkiyo Amelch said, I'm the Melech, so Yishaya should come and visit me. And Yishaya says, I'm the Navi, so Chizkiyo should come and visit me. And Hashem decided that they needed to get together and have a visit. So Hashem arranged that they should visit each other. How did it work? That Chizkiyo got sick. Hashem, ma'asa kodesh baruch hu, hevi yisur ma Chizkiyo, v'amr lo Yishayahu, leich u'bakir asa chole. So now you have a mitzvah bikur cholim. So Yishayahu, you go visit Chizkiyo, because Chizkiyo got sick. So what happened when he came? So when Yishayahu came, he said to Chizkiyo, tzav lebeischa ki meis ata v'lo sechya. You can give your tzava, you can give your last will and testimony, because this is it, Chizkiyo, you're going to die. So, wow, that's pretty harsh. My kuli hai, what's going on over here? So Yishayahu explained to him, Mishum d'lo asakta b'piri v'rivya. You didn't have children. And he says, I know I didn't have children, but there was a very good reason I didn't have children, because I saw Baruch HaKodesh, that my children are going to be Rishayim, Gimurim, and so I decided better not to have them. So Yishayahu said, "Bahadi kafshir derachman alamalach." Right, Hashem has His master plan. Hashem has secrets in the world, and that's not your business. And so you should have had children anyway. So Chizkiyahu is mekabel the Musar. He says, okay, I hear. You're right, I'm mekabel. I shouldn't have done that. So what should we do? So Chizkiyahu himself has a suggestion. Hashta havli bartich, let me marry your daughter, Yishayahu. Efsha de garmas chusa didi v'didach, v'nafki minai banin demalu. Let me marry your daughter. You have a lot of schulios, I have a lot of schulios, so put them together. Maybe, you know, that which I saw in Ruach HaKodesh, that I'm not meant to have children who are good, I'm meant to have children who are shy, maybe our schulios together will overturn that nevuah, and I really will have children who are tzaddikim. So Yishayahu says, it's no good, forget about it, kfar nigzor alecha gzera. It's over. This is Yishayahu and Navi. This is a Navi coming and telling Chizkiyahu HaMelech, it's over, nothing can be done, there's a gzera, you're going to die. Nothing can be done. So, Omer Le, Ben Amotz, Kale Nevuascha Vitze. Your Nevuah has finished. You can leave now. Get out. Why? Kach Mekublanim Beis Avi Abba. I have a Mesor from my father's house. Afilu Cherev Chada Munachas Atzavar Shal Adam Al Yimna Atmo Min Arachamim. That even if a person has a sharp sword up against his neck, so he can always daven. Hashem, no matter how desperate, how dire the situation seems to be, so Hashem can always save us. So Afilu Cherev Chada Munachas Atzavar Shal Adam, Yishayahu Navi comes and tells you, this is the Navi, he comes and tells you, it's over for you? No. Even that, no, it's not over. A person can always daven, a person can always turn to Hashem. And it doesn't mean it's going to work. He's not saying that I can daven, and I'm going to daven, and Hashem is going to make it work. He's saying you can daven, and there's a potential that the decree can be overturned, but it's never hopeless. And that seems to be in line with the Chazon Ish defined as bitachon, that no matter how dire the situation a person seems to be in, so he should realize that Hashem is in control, and Hashem can flip the situation on his head. That's one story. There's a few other stories that we find in Shas which seem to paint a different picture. Any question? No. Which seem to paint a different picture of Bitachon. The Gemara has the following story in Tainus and Daf Chaf Aleph. Nachum Ish Gamzu. Why is he called Ish Gamzu? The Chomilsa Dava Salkalei Amar Gamzu Latova. Everything that happened to him. So his response to whatever situation confronted him, Gamzu Latova. So here we have another famous story. Zimnechada ba'u l'shdura Yisrael doron l'bekesar. B'nei Yisrael wanted to send a gift to the emperor. Amar man Yezel, they said, who is going to take this gift? Who's going to deliver it to the Caesar? So they decided to choose Nachum Ish Gamzu, the Meluvan b'Nisan, who he is a guy, he has Nisan, he has a lot of siyata d'shmaya, everywhere he goes, we'll send it with him. Great. So what do? They took a big treasure chest, and they made a collection, and they mamish filled it up with gold and silver and jewels and everything good. And they gave it to Nachum Ish Gamzu and his entourage, and they're going down to the Caesar. And the way down to the Caesar, they stop in an inn, and they have a room, and overnight they go to sleep, and the innkeeper has noticed this big chest, and they figure, wow, there's probably something good in there, and they take a peek, and they see these gold and jewels, and sort of, wow. So they take it at night whenever you sleep, and they take the chest, and they empty it out, and they fill it up with, like, from the back of the inn, they have all this, like, rubble, you know, dirt and rocks and all this, you know, nothing. And they close it back up, and they put it back where they found it. In the morning, Nachum Ish Gamzu and his people wake up, and they leave the inn, and they continue their journey to the Caesar. And somewhere along the way, somebody realizes something is not right with the chest. And they open it up, and they see, wow, it's an Vavanim offer. They're ready to turn around. And Nachum Ish Gamzu is like, no, we're going on. Gamzu Tova, we're going on. And they continue to get all the way to the Caesar. And they present him with the gift. And the Caesar has the natural response of a Caesar in that situation. Bo Malko Lemiktalinu Lukulu. He decided he's going to kill them. Amr Kam Machaychi Bi Yehudai. The Jews are making fun. What is this? You're making fun of me? This is kind of joke. He's going to kill them all. Nachum Ish Gamzu, don't worry about it, guys. Gamzu Tova. It's all good. Asa Eliyahu, idmi lekechad minayu. Eliyahu Navi comes. He appears to them like one of the ministers in the Caesar's court. And Amar Le, Dilma ha'afra me'afra d'avram avuonhu. Not so fast, Caesar. Let's take a look at what this dirt really is. Maybe this is the Avram Avinu dirt. These are the Jews. Maybe this is the Avram Avinu dirt. What's so special about the Avram Avinu dirt? The Avram Avinu dirt, when you take a clump of dirt in your hand, you throw it, and it turns into like arrows and spears, and it's great. Great dirt. So the Caesar's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Avram Avinu dirt. So there's this one, you know, one kingdom that he's always trying to conquer, and he's never able to win in the war, and he takes the chest of dirt out with him to battle, and he clumps and he throws and like there it is, arrows, spears, and the Avram Avinu dirt works. And he's like, wow, this is great. And he comes back and the Jews are so happy. And what happens over here? He let's see, umalu l'sifte avanim tovos u'margolios v'shadru b'yikra rabba. So he sent them away with a lot of kavod and with a lot of wealth. So on the way back, you know, like Rashi says in Chumash, Darech Eretz, if you go in and in on the way down, so you should stop in the same inn again on the way up. So they do. They stop in the inn on the way up, and the innkeepers are a little bit surprised to see them, and they're like, "Wow, you know, what was in that chest they gave the Caesar?" And they're like, "Whatever was that? We gave him the chest. Whatever was in it, that's what we gave him." So the innkeepers are like, "This is great," you know. They knock down their whole inn. You know, they bring like the crane. They knock the whole thing down. They fill it up with dirt from their, because they say we have good dirt over here. So they fill it up with the dirt from the rubble of their building, and they take it to the Caesar, and he kills them, of course, because it doesn't work for them. So if you look at this story of Nachum Ish Gamzu and Gamzu Latova, it doesn't sound like Nachum Ish Gamzu is so besuffic as to what's going to happen in terms of maybe it's going to be good, maybe it's going to be bad. He could have turned around. I mean, they're on the way down to present the Caesar with a treasure chest full of dirt, and the Bitachon Nachum Ish Gamzu seems to go so far as to rely, it says to be what the Chazon Ish referred to as the Taus Noshenes, as the common misconception of what Bitachon is, that it'll be good, don't worry, it'll be good. So here comes Nachum Ish Gamzu, and we have exactly that, it'll be good. So what's the pshat? That's the first question. Just to flesh out the question, another story about Nachum Ish Gamzu. There's another. Nachum Ish Gamzu is in his house. Nachum Ish Gamzu, for whatever reason, another mice in the Gemara, but he had no limbs. He had no arms, he had no legs, and he had all sorts of, he was very uncomfortable, all diseases, skin ailments, and the like. And he was sitting in his bed one day, and the Gemara says that his bed had, you know, the four legs of the bed, and each of the legs of the bed was in a bucket of water, because that would stop, like if the ants tried to crawl up the bed, so they'd crawl up the bucket, side down the bucket, they would drown in the water. He was like, it was a bad matzah for Nachum Ish Gamzu. So he's laying there in the bed, and it's like, the house is like, you know, rickety, you know, it's going to fall. And the Talmidim come in, like, Rebbe, we're taking you out, you know? And he's like, wait, before you take me out, I have a few things here, take my stuff out, and then take me out. And they're like, Rebbe, the house is going to fall down, you know, it's going to fall down. So let's get you out. If it's still up, we'll come back for the stuff, but let's get you out first. He's like, no, don't worry about it. Kol zman sheni babayis, ein habayis nofel. As long as I'm in the house, that's not going to fall down. So first take my stuff, and then when you have all my stuff, you can take me out. And Derech Agav, so Graim, like, so just stay there, you know, because I'm not sure anybody's nofel, I'm not sure why he didn't just stay there. But, okay, I think the first time I asked that, Kasha. But, Nachum Ish Gamzu, what's going on? This is Bitachon. It's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. L'chora, if I was holding what the Chazon Ish said the regular Bitachon is, you know, Hashem's in charge, go this way, go that way, so it mandates a certain amount of hishtadlus. Okay, now I can go out, so I should go out. But what's this Nachum Ish Gamzu saying? Kol zman sheni babayis, ein habayis nofel, don't worry about it. Take my stuff and then take me. What is that? Where's that kind of bitachon come from? So, before we get to answer these questions, and ask some more questions, there's another story that we're all familiar with, also in the Gemara in Brachos. Nachum Ish Gamzu is a very famous Talmud, and his Talmud also has a catchphrase that means the same thing as Gamzu Latova, but is phrased differently. Nachum Ish Gamzu's Talmud is Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara Brachos in Daf Samach and Beis says Rabbi Akiva that he said, a person should always be accustomed to say that everything Hashem does, he does for the good. So what's the story over here with Rabbi Akiva? He came to a certain city, and he was looking for a place to stay. And every door he knocked on said, we're full. Rabbi Akiva was forced to spend the night in the neighboring field. And that night, he has with him only three things. He has a candle, he has a donkey, and he has a chicken. And over the course of the night, the wind blows out his candle, and the wild animals, the lion, comes and he eats his donkey, eats his chicken, and he's left with nothing. And he says, you know, kol da'avid rechmano l'tav avid, it'll be okay, all for the best, if you will. And in the morning they wake up, Rabbi Akiva wakes up, and he sees that the whole city that he was looking for lodging in was ransacked by an army overnight, and there's nothing left of the city. And he said, didn't I tell you, kol da'avid rechmano l'tav avid, everything Hashem does is for the best. If I would have had a candle, so then the army would have seen me in the field, they would come and get me. And if I would have had a donkey or a rooster, it would have made noise, they would have heard me, they would have come to get me. So we see that all these bad things that happen really for the good. So the second question is, what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Nachum Ish Gamza? Nachum Ish Gamza says Gamza L'Tova, and Rabbi Akiva says Kol De'Avid Rechman L'Tavi Avid. The question is, is there a difference between the two? Just B'Kitzer, I'll just mention a couple other Gemaras that seem to... No, I won't. So what's the chat over here? So there's another Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish also in the Munu Bitachon. The first paragraph that we read from was in Os Aleph of Perek Beis, I believe. And the next paragraph is the last paragraph in Perek Beis of Munu Bitachon, Os Zayin. The Chazon Ish writes like this: Yesh od mi midas haBitachon. There's another element, another facet to Bitachon. Ki al haboteach shore ruach kodesh umislave imo ruach oz. That upon a boteach rests a ruach kodesh, and he is accompanied always by a ruach oz. And what does this ruach tell him? Hamivasro ki omnam yazrei Hashem. He has this ruach kodesh that tells him that Hashem will help him. It will be good. Ukmosha amar David Amelech alav shalom im tachane alai machane lo yira libi im takum alai milchama v'gomer v'ze inyan mischala yiflafi ma'ila saboteach ruach kodesh. So Rav Asher Weiss in the Sefer points out that it sounds like a stirah between the first paragraph in the Chazon Ish and the last paragraph in the Chazon Ish. The first paragraph seems to say that bitachon is not whatever is good is going to happen. Bitachon means that Hashem is in control. And the last paragraph, we see the Baal Bitachon is accompanied by this ruach kodesh hamivasro ki omnam yazrei Hashem. So it's a different shot in how to reconcile and whether you hold it's really a stirah or not. But Rav Asher Weiss says that the answer to this apparent stirah is in the very last line over here. That if you have a person who's mamish a tzaddik, he's the highest madrigas, so then he has the right to have the type of bitachon where he says, I know that what's good is going to happen. But if you have a person who's holding on a lower madriga, not a low madriga, an average madriga, a regular person, even a person who's not an average, above average, good people, but you're not the tzaddik hador, so then you're entitled to what we call the first type of bitachon of the Chazon Ish, the regular bitachon, that you can realize that Hashem is always in control of everything, and that no matter what, Hashem can help you, but not that what's good, what you think is good, is going to happen. That's what Rav Asher Weiss explains. Just Aaron Agav, I can't hold in the story, or this famous story of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, in his town, the Arod is going around stinging people and killing them, and they come to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, and he says, show me the hole, and they show him the hole where this scorpion lives, and he sticks his foot over the hole, and the scorpion stings him, and the scorpion dies. Like, what's going on? Like Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, and the answer is he's just like Nachum Ish Gamza. He's holding it such a high madriga bitachon that he knows Omnam Yazrei Hashem. Hashem is going to help him. That's for sure. Ruach Ozem and Vastro ki Omnam Yazrei Hashem. And I think that's the answer. And that I think this is something I saw in one of the Mefreshim in Yaakov. And then I actually read this year as Chatai and Imaskir. I only read it this year for the first time. I read the book at Tzaddik in Our Time. In the back of the Tzaddik in Our Time, so he has all these like Vortloch from Rabbi Levin. Rabbi Levin says the same shot. He says, what's the difference between the Kol De'Avid Rachmana L'Tav Avid of Rabbi Akiva and the Gamzu L'Tova of Nachum Ish Gamzu? He says it's exactly this chiluk. That if you have a person who's at the highest madriga, so then Gamzu L'Tova means that right now, even what is apparently bad, somehow Nachum Ish Gamzu, and we're saying the same madriga by Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, somehow right now in the bad, they're able to identify a Gamzu L'Tova. Right now, when the bad thing is happening, they see in the bad the Gamzu L'Tova. They see the good in the bad. And that's a high madriga. It's almost not shaykh for us. And even Rabbi Akiva, as high as he was, his madriga, his midah, was a midah of Kol De'Avid Rechmana L'Tav Avid. Everything Hashem does will ultimately be for the best. And that's why in the story of Rabbi Akiva, you have the story of the chicken and the donkey and everything's dying and he has no place to live. And in the morning, when he wakes up, he says, didn't I tell you in retrospect that now we see Kol De'Avid Rechmana L'Tav Avid? He doesn't see it when it's happening. But after the fact, he's able to recognize the Kol De'Avid Rechmana L'Tav Avid. So just to end off, it's interesting, Rav Asher Weiss points out that there is, in terms of, this is a very beautiful chiluk, but in terms of how you define this tzaddik who's entitled to the higher level of bitachon, so Rav Asher Weiss points out that there's a machlokis between the chassidim and the misnagdim. If this will finish. He said the misnagdim hold that if you're a tzaddik, meaning you're Talmud Chacham, and you're Makbid in Halacha, and you're Mamish, like you're an Adam Shalim, So then you're entitled to the higher level of bitachon that what I think is good is going to happen, that's what's going to happen. But the chassidim, and maybe it's shaykh to try and be chassidish a little bit for this, the chassidim will then know this type of bitachon is really much more accessible to, or maybe not, maybe I just am not appreciating this midah, but it's not limited to a person who we would colloquially define as a tzaddik. The chassidim say that no, that the person who's entitled to that level of bitachon is a person who's a gadol, who's a tzaddik within this midah of bitachon. If you have so much bitachon, hashlech al Hashem yahavcha v'hu yichal kelecha, that imamish, you're able to put it all on Hashem, you're not the biggest tzaddik in everything else. But when it comes to bitachon, you have total emunu bitachon, 100%, that Hashem is going to help you. So then the chassidish way of thinking is that you are the baal bitachon, the second baal bitachon refers to the chassidish, and that's what you're entitled to. And the mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zulcha to at least one of the two. Amen.
And we'll pick up seven lines from the bottom. The Gemara tells us also when it comes to this porridge, Rav Yehuda Amar Shakal Nibidvaro, Rav Kana Amar Bar Mine Mizonos. Explains the Gemara, the porridge is made out of a wheat substance. When it comes to the daisa itself, so everybody, of course, agrees if it's just the wheat itself, so then it gets a bar minim sanos. Ki pligi b'daisa kein chavitz gedera. They're arguing about this case of a porridge that's like a chavitz gedera. Rashi explains, I saw that in the Schottenstein edition, they said that what Rashi describes, which I couldn't figure out exactly what it is, they didn't tell me exactly what it was, but they said that most old editions didn't have this line in Rashi. But it's what we have is some type of mixture with milk. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shahakal Savar Duvshi Iker. Rav Yehuda says that the bracha that one makes on it with this milk and the honey and the wheat, so then it gets a shahakal because the primary ingredient is the honey. Rav Kahana Amar Barmanei Mizonos Savar Smida Iker. And Rav Kahana holds that the smida is the Aramaic word for flour. He says that the flour is the Iker. Amar Rav Yosef, Kavase de Rav Kahana Mistabra. The position of Rav Kahana is logical. The Rav Shmuel, Darmi Tarvayu, Kol Sheyeshbo, Mechameshes Haminin, Mevarech Alav Bar Minei Mizonos. Because Rav and Shmuel already taught us that any time you have the Chameshes Minei Dagon inside, so then you make a Bar Minei Mizonos. Now when you read the Pshat in this Gemara, there should be a basic question that must be asked within Rav Yosef. And this is going to be, we're going to go, Bezor Hashem, methodically through the sugya, and the first fundamental issue that gets all the way to Halacha Lamaisa, eventually, the first fundamental issue that needs to be asked is exactly what is Rav Yosef's statement? What is the Amora Rav Yosef saying that I think Rav Kahana is correct from what Rav and Shmuel said? Rabosai, how did you learn? How did you learn just simple Gemara? Sometimes the most fundamental issues in the sugya is how you read good pshat in the Gemara. So what's Rav Yosef's raya? What exactly is Rav Yosef bring a raya for that we paskin that the bracha is mizonos? What's his raya? Poshup pshat. Yeah, Ezra? And what exactly did they say? By definition, the smallest amount that has chameshus minin that's mixed into it, by definition, is going to get a mizonos. So the way Ezra learns is like this, that we see from Rav and Shmuel that the moment you have already a little bit of chameshus minin, then by definition, you get a bore mine mizonos. That's how Ezra is learning the raya. Okay. So let's take a look and see how the Rishonim are masbir this raya. How did the Rishonim learn up what Rav and Shmuel are saying? And let's start actually from a source that we normally would not start with. Let's see how the Me'iri summarizes our sugya. And let's be medayik in the Me'iri, and then see how it contrasts to the other shitas harishonim. Let's take a look at the Me'iri. Kol tavshi, says the Me'iri. Today what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Rishonim on two basic issues. Not necessarily explode it in terms of the halacha lemaisiyah, but just methodically break apart the Shaka V'Tarya, and as well as the basic shitas and kol sheyesh bo beis Hashem. Says the Me'iri, kol tavshi. Even if you add a lot, even though it's the minority, but the Iker Tavshil is defined by the grain. Then you go after the min. And that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says smida ikar. What were Rav Kahana's words? Rav Kahana's words were bore mine mizonos, because the flour is the ikar. So the Me'iri is very close to what Ezra had said. The Ha'inu, the Me'iri says like this. The definition of kol sheyesh bo mechamisha es minei dagan is exactly what Rev Kahana was describing. And that is, that once you have, and this is the conventional pshat, the Me'iri says it the most clearly, that once you have any of the chamesh es minei dagan, halachically, that defines the tafshel. That becomes, what was the Me'iri's lashon? The Me'iri's lashon is sheikar atavshel karui al shem. The tavshel is defined. The identity of the tavshel is as what? As the chameshes minei dagan. And that's exactly what Rav Kahana is saying. Where Rav Kahana says smida ikar, it's exactly this idea that the chameshes minei dagan give the identity. It defines this taruvas. It becomes the identity of the taruvas itself. For sake of contrast, let's immediately go to the Ribav. The Ribav is one of those mefarshim that every once in a while you have him on the side of the Rif. He says something that is very striking and in many ways could open up the sugya. So let's take a look at the Ribav. I believe so. I believe he's a late Rishon. Says the Ribav, in the standard edition, it's two lines from the bottom, in the Chavitz Kedira, he quotes Oshita, Nekot Rav Kahana, let's pick up with Nekot Rav Kahana, the kol min tavshil, sheyesh bo mechameshes haminim, all tavshil that has one of the mechameshes haminim, af al pi sheyesh bo also tavshil min acher, shehu ikar, even if though it has tavshil of a different min, that is the ikur, nevertheless, mevarchin alav bar mine mizonos, it gets a bar mine mizonos. V'hilchas kavaseg Rav Kahana, and the halacha is like Rav Kahana, said the Ribav. V'lo mitameh, but not for his rationale, to amar smida ikur, not because the smida is the ikur. Da'avagav the duvsha ikur, even though the dvash is the ikur. Mivarchin alav bar mine mizonos. It's not the pshat, says the Ribav. It's mamish mefurish against what the Me'iri is saying. It's not the pshat that what happens is that it's korui al Hashem, that the ikar of the tavshil is now defined by what? By its smida. No. Kol sheyesh bo mechameshes mine dagan tells us that even though the duvash is the ikar, even if the honey is the ikar, nevertheless, for some magical reason, it still gets a bore mine mizonos. The honey mili, continues the Ribav, kisha osa min mechameshes haminim mura betav shalit in tam. But of course, he says, the significance of the chameshes minim are only if it's there to give tam. Avol munasin tavshil l'shar dvar mishaloli tein tam v'tavshil mevarich ala ikar. But if it's not there for tam, so then in such a case the halacha goes back to the ikar. Kehidam mina l'kamon ayhud shad bekimcha dvukei be'alma hu davle. The Gemara in Lamed Tesam and Aleph says that by devek, if you're only using the flour as a binder, so in such a case then it does not get a mezonos. Continues the Rebav. V'kashali, and I have a kasha. V'svarazu, according to the above hesber that I just gave. The Gemara and Daf Mem has the following case. This is also the case that's also sometimes referred to in the Rishonim as Peres Ginosa. There were certain very enjoyable fruits that were very sweet, or herrings that were very, very salty. Peres Ginosa are very sweet. Meliach is very, very salty. That they would eat them and they would eat crackers with them to the point that they would have the crackers just to nullify the salt or the tremendously sweet fruit. It was very, very enjoyable fruit, very, very enjoyable herring, but at the end of the day, it became too sharp. Somebody once told me that he's not sure that it could be that, I wonder if he was joking, that you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, they serve the Yerushalmi kugel with pickles. For some reason, they always serve the Yerushalmi kugel with pickles. You ever noticed that? Aveli's already Yerushalmi. So he said, in such a case, it could be that maybe the pickle, as Mamish has the din, the pickle has the din of, maybe you could argue the other way, I don't know, but that one is there to counteract the taste of the other. Either way, there is this halacha of Peres Ginosar that, you know where it happens, where maybe really happens today is herring. So when it comes to herring, so in such a case, then they use the cracker for that. Apotras hatfela, so the pickle is entirely there. His argument was the pickle is entirely there to abet the Yerushalmi kugel. So then maybe to remove some of the spiciness, or for a cracker, clearly one could say that. The imam eliach shu ikar poter es hapashi tfelelo, koshikein sheyesh lifta min mechameshes haminim mi'ura b'tavshil im tafla min acher. So asks the Rebav, wait a second, if we're going to say that the halacha is that when you nullify, so then you don't look at the chameshes min edagon, so to over here, eliyesh lomar, zeu shebo Rav Shmuel lamdeinu. No, Rav Shmuel coming to teach us shekol tavshil shemu'urben mechameshes min etagon litein tam b'tavshil. If you're coming to give the tam b'tavshil, also min hu chashuv leikur mipnei chashuv vaso mevarech alav. Then it's considered chashuv. But if it's there just to blunt the taste of the herring, the saltiness of the herring, it's blunt the sweetness of the fruit, to blunt the Yerushalmi kugel, so then in such a case, then the halacha is that it doesn't get a bracha at all. Now it's interesting to note, this is what I would call a diuk katan, that the Rebav is the one who acts v'kashali. Do you recall any other, we had a bunch of Rishonim all along the way. Did anybody say v'kashali? I'm asking not only rhetorically, I'm asking you seriously. If anybody remembers any of the Rishonim that we saw in our sugya, did any of the Rishonim say, I have a bon kasha on this whole sugya? They mentioned Peres Ginosar and so on. But they didn't say, oh, the kashali, I have to, according to my whole mahalach, it doesn't make any sense. So why Dafka, according to the Rebav, is it a kasha? As opposed to the other Rishonim that had spoken, that doesn't say the kashali. So it could be, as we had learned up the Me'iri, in contrast to the Rebav, it could be very simple. Dahainu, according to Rebav, it just gone through saying, if you have chameshes min edagon, even if it's not what was his lashon? The ikar. Even if it's not the ikar, it still gets a mezonos, because it's a halach of kol sheyeshbo mechameshes min edagon. In contrast, we were medayik, the Me'iri learned up, and I'm going to put it back into the Mineu Bei in the Gemara in a second. The Me'iri learned up, no. The Me'iri learned up that what defines it is the chameshes min edagon become the ikar, right? The chameshes min edagon become the ikar. It could be that according to the Rebav, then you could ask the kasha. At the end of the day, is this food serving a purpose? So anytime you have chameshes mine dung, if you put the herring on top of a cracker, so then in such a case, by definition, then it's going to get a bar mizos. Even if it's obvious that it's not the ikar, as long as the mizonos is there, then it's fine. According to the Meiri, then, and the other Rishonim, there's no real difference between devek. There's no real difference between devek and the cracker. So for them, you don't ask it as a kashali. But according to the Rebbe's Mahalaf, where the Rebbe is learning that what's going on over here is that even if it doesn't become the ikur, by definition, the chameshes mine dalin get a bracha, so then in such a case, you make a mizonos. This is a small ha'ara. I see a talmidim have a couple of questions. Why don't you like the small ha'ara, Eli? Go ahead.
Doesn't the answer say that it's the ikur Eli Yishon
Shakal Chashuv le'ikur. It's very, very different. Chashuv le'ikur is going to be very, very different than the way the Meiri had learned. Let me spell it out in pshat. Let's learn it up. Let's learn it up in pshat. Okay.
What does ikur mean?
Well, let me start with pshat now. First, we made the diukim in the Meiri and the Rebav. Now let's go back to pshat in the Gemara. There is clearly a fundamental machlokis in pshat in the Gemara over here between the Rebav and the Meiri. What is this fundamental machlokis in pshat in the Gemara? Yes, Michael.
Is it when Rav Yosef comes and says Misab Adrav Kahana? Is he saying because of the same reason he's saying, or is he saying I agree with him for a separate reason?
Beautiful. Clearly, there's one machlokis in pshat. Whether you leap to the next lamdisha stage, which Eli was questioning, okay, yesh ladun bazeh. But the first step is quite clear, and that is the Meiri said black on white. The Meiri said, "Vizehu sha'amru smida ikar." What does that mean? That the Gemara's raya is as Ezra had said. That kol sheyesh bo mechamishes mine daga means what? Kol sheyesh bo mechamishes mine daga means that whenever you have chamishes mine daga, then it becomes the ikar. The hainu. The pashtus of the Gemara is like this. The pashtus of the Gemara is that we have a case of Rav Kahana where Rav Kahana paskins that once you have chameshes mine dagon, the smida is the ikar, and the Gemara says that's exactly what Rav and Shmuel said. Kol sheyesh bo mechameshes mine dagon. However, the Rebav in pshat learns differently. The Rebav says v'hilchasay kavasay de Rav Kahana v'lo mitamei the smida ikar. The Rebav says black on white, not like the Meiri. He says that we paskin like Rav Kahana, but it doesn't mean that the smida is the ikar. So here we could go in two different directions. Here you could say that all the Rebav is saying is that there was something about Rav Kahana's understanding of smida ikar which was incorrect, but whenever you have kol sheyesh bo chameshes mine dagan, it's considered the ikar. More likely, the pashtus of what the Rebav is saying is actually more conceptual than that. And that is that the Rebav is learning like this. There's a lumdus behind what the Rebav is saying. And that is that even though halachically Rav Kahana's formulation is wrong, that the smida is the ikar, we don't view the chameshes mine dagan as the Meiri had said, the shame tavshil. No, it's not considered the shame tavshil. It doesn't become the ikur tavshil. It doesn't become the definition of the tavshil itself. However, when you have chameshes mine dagan, then in such a case, you can make a bari mine mizonos. Why? How? That we still have to discuss. But it's not the pshat that it becomes the definition, the shame tavshil. Differently than the Rebav, coming back, Eli, to your question, where he says, chashuv le'ikur, that the halacha looks it as if it's the ikur, but lav dafka is it the ikur itself. Now that chashuv le'ikur is very, that's a straight, you know, that you never know what to do with when you have a chashuv le'ikur. I'm not being medayik from the chashuv le'ikur. I'm not coming to say a shir on the words chashuv le'ikur. What I'm coming to say a shir from is the first part in the Rebav. When the Rebav says, v'lo mitamei damer smida ikur. Hence, I understand when he says chashuv le'ikur, I understand that what he's saying is that it's not considered the ikur mamish. So this is a machlokis of how you learn up the maskana sagamar between the Rebav and the Meiri. And we can anticipate that from a from a perspective of Lamdus as well, that has profound chilukim. Do you say that the pshat is, do you say that the pshat is what? That the pshat is that it becomes the shem atavshil, as the Meiri said? Or is it that for some reason, if it has chameshes mine dagon, then it gets a matter of mizayis? Rabbi said, I think the first ha'ar in pshat is beautiful, as I'm learning it with you. That's why the Rebav says v'kashali. Because the Rebav learns that even if it's clearly not the shame tavshil, if you ask the person, what's he eating? Herring or and a cracker. What's he eating? What's he going to say? He's going to say that he's eating a herring. And the halacha doesn't transform that metzius. So then the Rebav asks himself, v'kashali, according to my pshat, it's shver. But according to the other Rishonim, who say that we don't care what the person says. It's still not defined by what the person says. Chameshes mine dogam, by definition, make it the ikur. So then in such a case, then it becomes the same thing as the previous case of the peros, the devek. There's no difference between this and the devek. Tov. That last nekudim pshat v'amevin yavin, what I want everybody to understand is this chiluk between the Meiri and the Rebav. Yes, Shmuel.
I don't understand at all.
Okay.
I don't understand what it means when you say it's ikar. And it seems to be...
Who? The Meiri.
When they say it is the ikar,
yes.
I don't understand what that means.
Very, very simple.
Okay.
Ikar means is a halachic category.
Yeah.
And the halachic category is that you define this ta'aruvos by the chameshes mine dakan. The halacha turns it into the ikar.
So the definition of... So in the Gemara, when we say, Rav Kahana says that smidah is ikka, it's defined by the smidah, as opposed to Rav Yehuda saying it's not defined by the smidah.
Okay, now I haven't contrasted yet, and this is where the guys during Seder had said something good, so I'm just going to build with what they had said, but I haven't contrasted yet the machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Kahana. What I've asked was the basic question you have to ask first. Even before you lumped the size of Machlokas Rav Yehuda Rav Kahana, it was Mamish Step Aleph, is what exactly is the Gemara's Raya? What is the Raya? So the answer to what is the Raya is it depends. One way of understanding it is that the Raya is proving to me that the Smida is the Iker, and we're defining it then. That means that's the Halachic Iker. Or the other way of understanding it is that what the Gemara is saying is really, we don't call it the Iker. But the halacha is, even when it's a tafel, I'll formulate it in another chakir. Even when it's a tafel, still, chameshes mine dogan get the bracha. We all know that the halacha is, ikr v'tafel, Rabbi Yosef, I'm using this as a mashal. Please don't bring me a raya from the halachas of tafel now. I'm using this as a mashal. What do we have in regards to Iker v'tafel? The halach is if you have an ikar and a tafel, so then you follow the ikar, right? When you have chamishas mine dagan, is it pshat? It sounds, it's semantics right now, but it's pshat, and it's a toot studim in the Gemara. Is it the pshat that when you have chamishas mine dagan that the halacha turns it into the ikar? Or the halacha says no. Even vis-a-vis, the tavshil itself is not called dagan, but nevertheless, it's still going to get a bracha of mizonos. It's still a tafel, but nevertheless, this is an exception to the rule of ikar v'tafel. So is it working off the general rules of ikar v'tafel or not? The pashtus of the Meiri is that it is. That it redefines it. It becomes now the definition of it. And again, I feel uncomfortable. I didn't originally formulate it this way. I'm only doing a chidud ba'alma because I don't believe the Rishonim call it that the Rishonim, the Meiri, to be precise, in his language, says it's the shame. He doesn't use the expression ikar. So that's why I didn't originally start that with that hakir. I'm trying to keep as much affinity over here to what the Meiri's words are. However, what it's mashal ma'adav adomeh, this is a similar type of chakira. In other words, the chakira here, to be as precise as possible, does the chameshes mine dagan give it the shame tavshil? Or, even if it doesn't give it the shame tavshil, nevertheless, chameshes mine dagan always win. Chameshes mine dagan always win, I'm even yavin the Rebav that follows with his kash. I haven't said anything yet, Simcha. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah?
Just in Meiri?
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying that whenever there's chameshes mine dagan, it has the shame. He's just saying that in certain cases it has the shame, and then the Chamish Meinim is telling you that don't follow Rov, but just follow shame. Because later on he says that in a case where there's a lot more and it doesn't have the shame, then you wouldn't make that.
I think it's beautiful. I think the Hemshech is going to work. That's issue number two, which we haven't got to. Now, Rabosai, everybody sees how this is pshat, right? This is not just stam lomdus that we pull out a zaitiga me'iri over here, we pulled out a ribav over here. This is pshat and gemara. That's what makes this legitimate. This is one of the best. I saw this in Rav Nissen Kaplan. It's one of the best things that I saw in the Sefer. It's a beautiful ha'ara in terms of his mamish, the crux of this whole sugya of what we're about to say really stems from how you read the Masa Umatan in the Gemara itself. Okay, now let's go to the Rajba. Okay, let's take a look and see how you had a question. In the Hemshech, how it fits La'avos and so on.
It wasn't about the Hemshech. The Mir isn't saying that you have some Zonos, that's going to give it a shame, whatever. Hamish Mizdagan has a shame Zonos now.
Yeah.
He's saying that Dafka, when you make a Mizonos, is when you have a Mir, and also you call this thing, I'll shame the Mizonos. But not that it has a shame, meaning not the Lombus ever saying that it has a shame.
Vishikar Atav Shul Korui. I'll shame also me, Mechamesh
Yisamim. But not because it's
Hamishim. When you make a revenue zonos, when you call this thing, whatever, when you call the thing, whatever.
You're saying because it gets a mezonos, then it's called
the... No, because you call that, it gets a mezonos.
Yeah, that's all you meant to say.
Fine, but it's not because... I'm not saying that...
The Tavshil has this shame.
But in certain cases, when you have a...
I'm not saying that in Hilchos Macholos Asuros it would be the same halacha.
No,
I'm saying in Hilchos Brachos it has this shame.
Could
be in Macholos Asuros too. We'll see. The Magen Avram, equates it. But I'm Lav Dafka. I'm not going so far. I have no intention right now to go so far to. There's a Sugi and Chala on this and so on. We'll get to that.
I'm saying in certain cases when it has Chamesh Mina Dagan as a meaning, you don't call it all shame, the whatever. You don't call it. You don't
really?
Call it
what would the example be?
I don't know. When you have a mix of, let's say, Shibola, Shul, any one of them, whatever. And
that's challah. No, you're quoting a Mishnah in challah.
All right, and water.
last time we went wrong when we quoted Otsin. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know any of the five minedugan and water, and you call it whatever the world calls it water. So then you don't make a mizonos on it. That's the only thing.
Yifemod, I don't see why we're disagreeing. I'm not following the. I agree. I think I agree with everything you said. That's still different than the rebath. That's still different than the rebath. It could be that maybe there was something you took in my formulation as being more extreme than I intended it to be. That could be. All I'm saying is that at the end of the day, vis-a-vis Hilchos Brachos, the Taruvos over here is Korui Al Shem the Chamesh Yisamim.
I'm saying that's not always true. That's true in some cases, and that's when it gets in the zone, and it's not true.
Otherwise. I agree.
But it's not because of the Chamesh Yisamim Dagon. It's automatic. Basically, the halacha isn't turning it into the shame. It's just a shame without this new... They're just telling you that you follow the shame over rove.
Right. But the point is, at the end of the day, it has that shame. And according to Rebav, it doesn't have that shame. That's all. We're in agreement. That's the deal. That's the only thing we're... That's exactly what we're saying. Good. Now, let's take a look at the Rajba. Here we had a machlokes between two sets of chavrusas how to read the Rajba. Duvsha ika says the Rajba pirush ro rubo dvash umiyuto psovas. So the Rajba learns that Rav Yehuda, right? He holds that the rov is the dvash and the miyut is the psovas. So here we had a machlokas between Simcha and Eli. I apologize that I'm quoting you guys. If I'm doing it incorrectly, stop me. We had a machlokas between Simcha and Eli. You don't have to write this down. We'll get to a bottom line. We'll let the chevra be machriya. And that is, we had a machlokas between them. What is the opinion then of Rav Kahana? In other words, this is the shita of Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana holds that the smida is the ikar. So what's the pshat? So... Stop me if I'm quoting you incorrectly. Eli learned that the pshat was that, according to Rajba, he's describing a machlokas and metzius. That Rav Yehuda holds that dvash is the ikar, and Rav Kahana holds that no, the metzius was that the solas was the ikar.
Yeah, I suppose
You're chozer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that. Okay. Tov. Why you chozer say it's a machlokas and metzias? It's difficult?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Simchas Taina. Tov. Well, then if Eli was right, and if the Olam was masking to you, then it would be totally on the above. On the Me'iri and the Rebath. But let's continue on. Okay. someone wants to make sure that I don't get the mug and I'm wrong. Okay. So, Shmuel, how many people agree with Shmuel?
It's
a me. Eitan agrees. Tov. Vamevin Yavin. If you said that, if Eitan agrees, then I already have to throw it out. If you say that that's the pshat, so then the response of the Gemara of Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshes Minei Dagon is not bringing a raya to the yisod of smida ikar as a halachic definition, like we had learned according to the Me'iri. That's what would emerge according to the first day of the Rajba, if you learn that pshat. But I'm not going to spend time on that. But Maven Yavin V'nami. Let's continue on in the Rajba. Ikaro machmas duvshaso v'salso lahatimo lachshira. Here now the Rajba gives us pshat and what the machlok is between Rav Yehuda and Rav Kahana is. And that is, how do you look at the mixture over here? On the one hand, Ikaro, Machmas Dovsho, Visalso Latimo Lachshira. Umikol Makom Kivan Disalso Mu'urav Bo Lachshira, Mivarchin Alasonas Kidasikna Mehad Rav Shmuel. Even though both are there, both ingredients are there for the taste, the koveya is, as Rav and Shmuel had said, the koveya is the solas. V'lo damel tavshil delifsa. Da'av agav demavshi be'kim chalom mevarchin aleh al-shakol. There they put in only the solas. For what we call devek, that's the sugi of devek. Da'asam mishum dekim chalav ha'achshir. We'll have to discuss the Rajba's Lashon later. The solus is only there to be machshir. It's not lahachshir over there to give tam. It's only for devek. Rabosai, one could clearly be medayik in the conclusion of the Rajba, that the Rajba says that what happens over here in the rule of Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshes Minei Dagon is that the soles becomes the ikar. That is the ikar. And if it's the ikar, so then in such a case it sounds very similar to the formulation of the Me'iri, it defines the mixture over here, and therefore it's going to get a mezonos. Okay. Let's take a look, and here we're going to fight a lot about the formulation of the Ritva. Let's see how the Ritva is magdir ba'alacha kol sheyesh bo mechameshes minei dagon. Yes, Eli.
Doesn't everyone agree that when Rav and Shmuel come, they're saying that is the, because that is kilo d'ikr? I mean, even the Me'iri agree that.
No.
They're saying that Rav Kahana.
What's that?
Even the Ritva would agree that when Rav and Shmuel came, they were saying that
I hear your heart.
That's exactly what he's saying in the tab. That's why we're passing away.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that even according to, that's a fair heart. You're saying that according to the Revav, so it's true that Rav Kahana holds that what? Rav Kahana holds that the Smita is the Ikar. But the Maskana, even the Maskana agrees that Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshes Minei Dagon is the Ikar. That's how you learn. I hear what you're arguing. I don't see it that way. It sounds like to me a little bit differently. That Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshes, Rav Kahana was the one, again, if it's not a Machlokas and Metzias, Rav Kahana is the one who says that by definition it's the Ikar. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Lav Mitame. You're not Korah the Tafshal on this. Rather, it's just simply because it has Chameshes Minei Dagon. You could read it the other way. I think the Pashtus is not that way. I see where you're coming from, but I think the Pashtus is taka the other way. Okay, now let's take a look at the Ritva. Now here in the Ritva, I think this Ritva, I'm convinced, Rabosai, this Chakira is a valid Chakira. It's a Chakira in Pshat in the Gemara. If it's a Chakira in Pshat in the Gemara, it's a valid Chakira. Whether it has Nafkiminis Halacha, let's see. I'm not sure. I'd like to read this Ritva and then do one thing before we get back to this Chakira. We're going to be doing two things simultaneously. I'll explain to you. There are two sugyas within Kol Sheyeshbo that we need to play with. First, what we're going to do is look at the Ritva's Hagdara over here of what is the definition of Chameshes Minei Dagon that gets a bracha, and then we're going to come back, Bezer Hashem, to the previous Chakira. Let's take a look over here in the Ritva, about 7-8 lines from the bottom, where the Ritva qualifies. The Ritva writes, Umi Udavke B'Taruvus, Hu Darmin in Kol Sheyeshbo Chameshes Minei Dagon Varchan Lav. Vafilu Ha Yishara Taruvus Ikar. Even if the Shara Taruvos is the Ikar. To the Olam Chameshes Aminim Ikar. Because really the Chameshes Aminim is the Ikar. Avol Kishainim B'Taruvos, Pa'amim Sheitfela, but if it's not in the Taruvos, there are times that's a Tafel. Vafilu Pas, even when it comes to Pas. Ve'im Avarchal of Klal, Kedisla Kamam B'Vilo Mliachu Pas. Inami beperos genosa. Now the Ritva Rabosai answers the question of peros genosar in a very, very unique way. And in fact, it's a little bit of a pella how the Ritva does it. The Ritva is bothered at the end of the day, why is it that by chameshes minei dagon it gets a mezonos, but when it comes to genosar, so then the halacha is that it gets the bracha of the fruit. And what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says that over there, there's no taruvos. In order to have the rule of kol sheyeshbo mechameshes minei dagon, it needs to be a taruvos. Now, was that the svara of the Ribav? The Ribav didn't say that exactly. The Ribav gave a different answer. The Ribav said, this is just a point in chat. The Ribav said it has to be no saying tam b'tasho. It's a different hagdara than what the Ritva said. The Ritva over here says in order to have kol sheyesh b'al chameshes minei dagon, and this is going to be an important rule for down the line, it needs to be part of a taruvos. If it's not part of a taruvos, so then in such a case, he says, we don't say that there is a chiyuv of bracha. What's the rationale? Explains the Ritva. V'taima d'milsa. The rationale is dikishu b'taruvos afilu muat mikol makom l'ikar atav shelusham. When it's part of the taruvos, it's there to serve the entire tavshil. It's there to define the tavshil. V'avu bishem marbe b'shar minim v'avu ikar l'gabe mikol makom kivan d'hu me'ikar atav shel hu chashiv. The Ritva is an interesting svara. The Ritva says like this. When could the Chameshes Minei Dagon redefine the Taruvos? That's when it becomes part of the actual Ochel itself. So then, in such a case, it defines the Ochel. However, when it's not part, so then it doesn't. What's the Omek of what the Ritva is saying? It's very, very beautiful. It says like this. Iker Tafel. What's the Iker? The herring or the cracker? The answer is the herring. So, what allows you to say that the cracker transforms it? It's two separate things. However, once it becomes part of a taruvos, so then it's not called herring anymore. Once it becomes part of the taruvos, then the meat and the cholent loses its identity. If you're having meat, and on top of it, you're putting something else, and it's not a taruvos. I'm reading the Ritva, I'm not passing la halacha. If you have meat, and on top of it, you're putting a piece of a cracker, so then in such a case, it's not a taruvos. The meat has its identity, the cracker has its identity, and then you have to ask, what's the ikar, what's the tafel? However, once you've mixed them together, that's what the omek of what the Ritva is saying. Once you've mixed them into a taruvos, so then in such a case, it becomes part of the identity. Yes, Michael?
Would we go as far to say that the Rivav says it's not a taruvos?
I don't know. I'm throwing it out for you to work on. Ava, kishu be'en, uboim ha-meliach on peres genoser, ein yikar klal. But if it's be'en, then it's not the yikar v'lo bo'el l'hachshir es-apiv. V'lo old, then the Ritva gives us another hagdar. So the first hagdara, according to the Ritva, is of kol she'esh v'me chamishis mine dagan, is whether it's a taruvos. First, that's the first criterion. V'lo old, continues the Ritva, el afilu b'taruvos. Calls man she'eno mi'ikar atavshil klal. If it doesn't become part of the ikar atavshil, she'eno bo l'kavonas achilaso klal, it doesn't enter his kavona of achila, lo choshev. Then in such a case, it's not choshev. So Rabosai, the Ritva gives us two hagdaras of kol she'esh bo mechameshes mine dada. And what are its two identity definitions? The Ritva's two definitions are, number one, it needs to be taruvos. And number two, how would you be magdir the Ritva's second halacha? What's he coming to answer, by the way? The Devek sugya. He's trying to explain why Devek, if you're using it only as a binder, in such a case, does it not get a mezonos? And what's his akdara? What's the Hagdara? Let's be as precise as possible. This is setting up tomorrow already, Rebbe said. We're not going to even come back to all the implications of this. Yes, Shmuel? Kavanas Achila. Okay. Now, let's go backwards now, and let's just contrast the other Rishonim that we've had and see what is their Hagdara when it comes to Devet. Let's see, who did we discuss up until now that gave us a little information? Let's go back to Meiri. Maybe we have to read a little bit more in the Meiri, but let's read in the Meiri. What we're going to do, this is going to be a running list. This list is probably a... here's where you have to have that word that we were looking for with Rabbi Reichman on at the Oneg, to be able to think in two different tracks. So we're going to be simultaneous thinking. We're going to be working off two different tracks, because in these Rishonim, there are two major tracks that are going on. One is what we've done up until now, and then is the Hagdara of Kol She'esh Bo. When is it considered? The way I would describe it is what is the definition of Chameshes Mine Dagan? That's this question over here. What is the definition of Chameshes Mine Dagan? In other words, there are certain things that don't fall into that definition. So let's take a look at the Meiri again. Did anybody get what mill it is? Okay, whatever it is. Mevarecha, I have a story about that, but we'll wait towards the 45-minute mark. Mevarecha, just now read the Meiri from the Haskalah Adasov. The Meiri says like this. The Meiri says, well, let's rip through it quickly. I just want to get the whole Hemshech based on the Hezbollah that we gave before. Kol tav shom eil anis kvarim shem bedinei barim in mizonos. Im hir of bal tvar machem kuko dashi shem vetav shil. Af al pishich mispar ob mehen harbe. Ho li yesh bo mechamishis mine haminim. Vishe ikur hatav shil kori ha-shem oso amin. And the ikur hatav shil is called by that min mechamishis haminim. Af al pishir rubo midvar machem. Holchem achar oso amin. You go after the min. That was our diuk that the Meiri is cholik on the Rivan, because he says over here, like the earlier Shita. He describes the Chavetz Kedera, and let's skip two lines. Avo. Im ikar atav shel mitvarim acherim, but if the ikar atav shel is from other things, umachnis bo kemach harbe lemastek es atam ola avos atav shel kederach shosim atav shel shegrisin, says the Meiri. But if you add things to make it, you add wheat only to make it sweet. How does the wheat? The guys ask me how the wheat make it sweet. So the answer is it could be it's a very very spicy thing, and the wheat just changed by changing the volume. You could actually make it sweeter. Or you want to make the tavshil thicker. This, by the way, is discussed in the poskim a lot. A lot of people miss that this line in the Meiri. Then you don't define it as chameshes minim. So what is, you tell me, the Meiri says what it's not. What is the Hagdara of Chameshes Minei Dagan? It can't be if it's coming to sweeten or if it's coming to thicken. What is it? Yes,
Shmuel? Definitely if it's a Chashev Beit, and Kamal Sechila could be as well.
I don't know, the words are a little, the words here are a little vague, right?
I didn't fill it in per se as anything positive. I just left it as, if it's a Chashev Beit, then that's what gives it a coil shame and it becomes...
I'll tell you what I'm going to write. I'm going to write what it's not, not what it is. I'm just going to write what the Meiri says. The Meiri says...
Shame.
Okay, that's our alumnus. Okay. Shame Tavshil. But that's
very... Shame Tavshil. All right, let's be one of the five
things, of course. Not Lemase, Lemateg, or La'avot. Okay? It's not those two things. So then in such a case, then it's not Mechameshes Hamin. All right, who else have we seen? What else have we seen? The Ribabs. Right?
The idea of Meir says Shem Tavshil, that's Dav Kana Kish by Mizonos. In other words, typically you go by some other criteria to define your Karen Kapel.
Right.
But over here, once you have Mizonos that are
redefined.
Not the Matek and whatever, so right. Then we go by based on Shem Tavshil.
Correct. Correct. That's what the Meir says.
Could even be the Matek Dilava if it's the shame.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like it to me. Doesn't sound like that to me. In the world of conceptual possibilities, yes. But the world of conceptual possibilities is very different sometimes in the world of MS. Okay, let's see over here the Rebab's formulation. One, two, three. The Rebab, what does the Rebab say? The Rebab says what? The Rebab says Liteng Ta. L'chura, he's cholek, the Meiri and the Rebab are cholek by Ta. Because the Meiri said, if it's Lamasek, then it's not enough. According to the Rebav, it sounds like if it's most of the time. Okay, so what I wanted to bring out is the Ritva's the one who gives us a very interesting Hagdara, but the Ritva's Hagdara is actually quite different than the Hagdara that we've seen in the previous Rishen. Okay? Just simply in the words. I'm not saying in Nafkamina. I'm just saying how he presents it. The Ritva says that you need a taruvus. The Meiri and the Rebav, we don't see this lashanis. I'm not making machlokes in Rabbi said. I'm just being magdir. The only machlokes that we see over here is, by the way, in learning with Rav Nevinsel, he turns over backwards to minimize machlokes all the time. Minimize machlokes Rishon. I'm not talking about, it's a fascinating question whether that's part of his muhus of being a tremendous ishalom. Or it's just a derech halimud issue, but he will bend over backwards that there shouldn't be machlokes in lahalacha. In derech halimud, Rav Shechter is also very much not into the idea of a subtly different formulation making all the difference in the world. While some of my other rabbeim are definitely much more like that. Anyhow, yeah.
In Rishav, is it clear that we don't have the factor of taruvas?
Yeah, that's why I said. I'm not making a machlokes. That's what I was going out of my way to say. That's gufo as being mafkia.
I'm not talking about the difference between kavala sachin and nitei
tam. Yeah, I know. That's what I
thought you were coming.
No. It's coming to mafkia that. No, here I wrote the cholek b'tam. The Meiri and the Rebav are cholek b'tam. But I'm saying for taruva, stav dafkis are machlokes. Correct. Lav dafkis.
Between the Ritzvah and the Rebav.
Correct. That's
no
correct.
No one else applies explicitly the need of
Tarubas,
but it's assumed in
everything. Yeish for sure. From when we have our Lamdash antennas up, for sure. That it's interesting that the Ritva's formulation is so different. It's fascinating. Why did the Ritva say it that way? And that's all I have right now, is that I'm noticing that there's something very unique that's going on in the Ritva, and I have no idea why I did it. Okay, so we don't understand everything. Okay. Good. Maybe what we'll develop now might be relevant. Now, Rabosai, I think all Gehenim is going to break loose right now, and that I'm going to...